Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Full Time, Work, and the Meaning of Life by David L. Bahnsen presents a robust case that work is not a regrettable necessity, but a core feature of human purpose. Drawing from a Christian worldview and Bahnsen's experience as an investment manager and public commentator, the book challenges modern assumptions that the best life is one with minimal work and maximum leisure. Instead, it argues that vocation, productivity, and service are deeply connected to dignity and flourishing. Bahnsen engages common cultural narratives such as the dream of early retirement, the suspicion that work is inherently dehumanizing, and the idea that meaning is found mainly in self-expression. He proposes that work can be both ordinary and holy, and that economic realities like entrepreneurship, markets, and wealth creation can be understood through an ethical lens. The book aims to reframe daily labor as a calling, equipping readers to think more clearly about ambition, provision, identity, and the role work plays in a well-lived life. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, work as calling, not mere survival. A central theme is the redefinition of work from something we endure into something we are meant to do. Bahnsen argues that many modern attitudes treat work as a temporary hurdle on the way to real life, whether that means weekends, travel, or early retirement. Against this, the book frames vocation as purposeful activity that connects personal gifts to the needs of others. Work becomes a channel for contribution rather than just compensation. This does not romanticize every job or deny the presence of frustration, boredom, or injustice. Instead, it emphasizes that meaning is not reserved for a narrow set of prestigious careers. Ordinary tasks can be dignified when they serve households, communities, and the broader economy. The idea of calling also pushes back on the identity trap of defining the self only by career status. A calling is bigger than a title because it includes responsibility, service, and stewardship. In this framework, ambition is not automatically selfish, and excellence is not mere hustle. The reader is invited to see work as part of a coherent life, where effort and responsibility build character and offer a stable platform for generosity, family provision, and social contribution. Secondly, the meaning of life debate and the problem of leisure worship. The book engages the cultural narrative that the ideal life minimizes work and maximizes personal freedom. Bahnsen critiques the tendency to treat leisure as the highest good, where time off becomes the real measure of success and work is only a means to escape. This outlook, he suggests, can quietly hollow out meaning because it separates fulfillment from contribution. Leisure itself is not condemned, but it is placed in a secondary role, as rest that supports healthy labor rather than as the purpose of life. The discussion also confronts the popular belief that meaning is primarily self-constructed, dependent on personal preference rather than objective responsibility or moral order. By connecting work to human nature and to the needs of others, the book proposes that purpose is discovered through duty, competence, and service. This approach reframes common milestones, such as retirement planning, career pivots, or lifestyle design. Instead of asking, "How can I stop working?" the better question becomes, "What should I build, improve, or provide next?" Readers are encouraged to evaluate whether their goals cultivate long-term satisfaction or simply offer short-term relief. The result is a sharper understanding of why boredom and restlessness often persist even after financial success. Thirdly, economic life, markets, and the moral case for productivity. Bahnsen brings economic realism to the conversation about meaning, treating productivity as a moral and social good rather than a sterile statistic. He argues that value creation is fundamentally about meeting human needs and that markets, when functioning properly, coordinate service at scale. This perspective challenges views that profit is inherently exploitative or that commerce is automatically at odds with virtue. The book does not claim that all business behavior is ethical, but it highlights how entrepreneurship, investment, and innovation can contribute to human flourishing through jobs, better goods, and rising living standards. By emphasizing stewardship, Bahnsen links personal financial growth to responsibility, including the discipline to save, invest, and allocate resources wisely. This serves as a corrective to both consumerism and cynicism. Consumerism treats wealth as permission for indulgence, while cynicism treats wealth as proof of corruption. A stewardship lens asks how resources can be used to support family stability, community strength, and long-range generosity. The reader is invited to see everyday economic decisions as ethically significant, such as how one negotiates, hires, prices, or manages risk. In this view, productivity is not merely self-advancement, but an expression of care for others through competent work. Fourthly, identity, excellence, and the dangers of work idolatry. While the book defends the goodness of work, it also warns against making work an ultimate source of worth. Bahnsen addresses a common tension: people either resent work as meaningless or worship it as identity. Both extremes distort the role of vocation. Work idolatry shows up as chronic overwork, neglect of family, inability to rest, and a fragile self-esteem tied to promotions, recognition, or financial metrics. The alternative proposed is a balanced framework where work is important but not absolute. Excellence is encouraged because competence is a form of service, yet the book pushes readers to locate their deeper identity in something more stable than performance. This approach helps readers navigate seasons of unemployment, career setbacks, illness, or shifting responsibilities, all of which can threaten a work-based identity. It also gives language for setting boundaries and recognizing legitimate priorities outside the office. The book's emphasis on moral purpose provides a way to pursue high standards without becoming consumed by them. Readers are encouraged to cultivate virtues that support sustainable work, such as patience, honesty, prudence, and resilience. In doing so, work becomes a long-term practice of responsibility rather than a frantic race for validation. Lastly, integrating faith, family, and daily labor into a coherent life. A key contribution of the book is its insistence that meaning is not found by separating life into isolated compartments. Bonson argues for integration, where faith convictions, family responsibilities, and professional labor inform one another rather than compete. This integration challenges the idea that spiritual life is limited to private devotion, while public work is morally neutral. Instead, daily labor is treated as a stage for ethical choices, neighbor love, and character formation. The book also emphasizes the importance of family provision and presence, reframing breadwinning and caregiving as meaningful work rather than secondary tasks. This has implications for how couples discuss roles, how parents model responsibility, and how individuals evaluate opportunity costs. Integration also shapes how one responds to success and failure. Achievements are received with gratitude and restraint, while disappointments are met with perseverance and hope. Readers are prompted to develop a philosophy of life that can withstand shifting economic conditions, technological change, and cultural confusion about purpose. By tying work to service, stewardship, and responsibility, the book offers a practical lens for decisions about career moves, risk-taking, education, and time allocation. The goal is a stable, coherent life where daily effort aligns with enduring values. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who feel conflicted about work, whether they are young professionals searching for direction, mid-career adults questioning the point of the grind, entrepreneurs carrying heavy responsibility, or retirees and near-retirees reconsidering what a meaningful next season looks like. It also serves readers who want a thoughtful Christian account of vocation that takes economics seriously rather than treating money and markets as embarrassing necessities. The benefit is a reorientation of daily life. By reframing work as service and stewardship, the reader gains a sturdier motivation than mood or status, and a clearer framework for decisions about ambition, boundaries, family priorities, and long-term goals. Compared with many purpose or productivity books, Full Time is not primarily a set of hacks or a motivational pep talk. Its value is the deeper worldview level argument that connects meaning, morality, and economic reality. That makes it worth buying for readers who want more than career advice and who are tired of the shallow promise that fulfillment is found mainly in leisure, self-expression, or early exit from responsibility. It offers a durable philosophy for building a life, not merely optimizing a schedule. If you would like to support David L. Bonson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.